Welcome to another practical teaching of God's Word by Pastor Harold McPherson, pastor of Covenant Community Church in Suffolk, Virginia. Here at Covenant, we are committed to leading people into genuine relationship with God through the power of Jesus Christ. And now, here is Pastor McPherson.
We're going to continue on tonight and talking about prayer that works. How many of you are like, I'm interested in praying? And praying and getting through. Amen. You know, when you're you're fresh in the Lord, you're young in the Lord, you got a lot more zeal than you have knowledge. You know, and everybody running around with their chest poked out because they don't pray for 5 minutes. You know, but as you move forward in God, you discover that it's God is not all that interested in quantity. He's not all that interested in size. He's not moved by that. He's moved by quality and content. And he told David, I don't see things the way that people see them. I don't look at things the way that people do. You see from the outside. But my perception is much deeper than that. I look at the heart of a person. I look at the engine room. I look at why they do what they do and why they want what they want. My perception is a lot deeper. Amen. And so we're going to discover tonight that when it comes to prayer, God looks at my heart. He hears my words, but he really looks at my heart to make sure that my heart is lining up with what I'm saying. God is interested in answering our prayers. He's not interested in us just praying and not really getting through, man, but to really be moved by our prayer. Do you know that God wants to be moved by your prayer? He really wants your prayers to move him. Amen. And so tonight we're going to continue. And for the rest of this month, as a matter of fact, we're going to continue talking about that. But tonight we're going to talk about prayer that moves God too. This is the second time we're going to be talking about prayer that moves God. And so we're going to go back. We're going to go back to Luke chapter 18 and look at that text again, because that text is loaded. Really, that whole chapter is loaded with principles on prayer. But we want to go back to Luke 18. And again, we'll look at verses 9 through 14. It says, also he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers. I even as this tax collector, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And how many know all that's good? Oh, that's good. Okay. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast. That is, he smote his chest, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone, does your Bible say it's everyone? That means this principle affects everybody. Everybody. But he who exalts himself, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Look at verses 11 and 12 again, and let's look at the Pharisee for just a minute. It says, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. That's a terrible thing, isn't it? Pray with yourself. Pray thus with himself. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. You know, one of the words that you find throughout his prayer is that word, I. In his prayer, he uses that word, I, five times. In other words, he's more focused on himself than he is on moving God. He's really bragging on himself. Yeah. He really is. He's just right proud of himself. How many know that pride is sneaky? It is sneaky. Pride is a real sneaky thing, you know, because I can become proud. I can become proud spiritually. He became proud in his devotion. I can become proud in how much I pray. You ever ran across somebody that was really proud? You can tell if a person is proud about how much they pray because they're going to tell you how long they pray. And they want you to tell them how long you pray so they can make a comparison. Okay? But again, God is more interested in content than he is in quantity. In one place, the Lord Jesus even said that. Don't think that you're heard because of your many words. In Matthew chapter 6. It's not how much I say, it's what I say and me meaning what I say. Amen? I can be proud how often I fast. You ever run across people, when people tell you how much they fast? I fast twice a week. How many know that's between me and God how often I fast? Because I'm not fasting unto men. The Lord Jesus talked about that in Matthew 6, that when you fast, you're not fasting unto people. In other words, I don't have to tell other people how much I fast. That's between me and God. But I can be proud of that. I can be proud of how much I give. Come on now. We got real quiet there. It's good to give, but it's not good to be proud of what I give. And the Pharisee was probably saying, man, I give tithes of all. How many know tithing is a good thing? But I tithe unto God. That's why here at Covenant, we don't have a board out in the lobby. Amen. With all the members' names on it. Amen. And so when you miss it, we got a red dot by your name. So all the saints, even the ones that don't tithe, they go look at the board. She ain't tithe. Come on now. No. My tithe is unto the Lord. Right. See, because I'm honoring him. It's based upon honoring him. I'm not seeking honor from men. Amen. I'm doing that as unto the Lord. And so, but I can be proud. I can be proud of how much I give. And I've been in places, saints. I mean, I've been in places, you know what I mean, in different meetings and things. And, you know, and people have all kind of lines. $100 line, $200 line, and people getting in the $200 line. No, you can't even afford to get in the $200 line because you want other people to see you giving $200. What is that? What is that? You know, God is not impressed. You know what I mean? You know, it's my giving is between me and the Lord. Yes, tithing is biblical. It's the thing to do, and again, it's based upon principles of honor. But that's between us and God. Amen? Amen. Amen. But he was proud of that. But how many know I can even be proud of how much I attend church? Oh, got real quiet. And it's good. I mean, the scripture says not to forsake that. Not to forsake that. You know. But I've come to the place now, and I used to really, really kind of trip about that. Because you see saints and you don't see them. You see them, then you don't see them. You see them, then you don't see them. You know, but Dr. Chan kind of helped me with that a little bit. He said, man, Harold, I mean, things have changed. There are a lot of different reasons why you may not see somebody every Sunday. Work schedules have changed. Things have changed. Commitments have changed. Things have changed, you know. And I've come to the place where I'm a little more flexible with that. But I used to trip behind that, you know. But I can even be proud about my attendance in church. I can be proud about my service. And so you have to really watch pride because pride is sneaky. It's real sneaky, you know. And one of the ways I keep an eye on it is when I begin to compare myself. Because if I compare myself, I'm measuring. See? And none of us really, we really can't do that because we don't know what other people are dealing with. Okay, so my relationship is really between me and the Lord. My commitment is between me and the Lord. My serving is between me and the Lord. My giving is between me and the Lord. Amen. And the Lord Jesus spoke to that in Matthew 6, man. He said, when you fast, make sure that you wash your face, put some lotion on, so the other people don't know that you're fasting, because you're fasting unto the Lord. And I call it the principle of the secret place, that when he sees in the secret place, when he sees that you're just really doing business between you and him, then he'll reward you openly. But if you do it unto me, you already have your reward. Okay? So, but we have to watch that thing called pride. Come on, tell somebody, watch it.
Watch it.
It's sneaky. But look at verse 13. Verse 13, the tax collector. Again, the tax collector, as I mentioned on Sunday, you know, he was a tax collector. He's an Israeli IRS agent. But he didn't brag on himself. Didn't brag on himself now. But he humbled himself. Look at verse 13. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Verse 14. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. His humility in prayer, catch it now, it's very important. His humility in prayer moved God. And God acquitted that man. Talks about Manasseh. Manasseh was the son of Hezekiah. Hezekiah got in life extension from God. He was on his bed. He was about to die. Isaiah went in and told him, put your stuff in order. You get ready to check out. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall, began to cry out to God. God heard his cry, and before Isaiah could get out of the palace, God turned him around. Said, you go back to him. Tell him I've heard his prayer, I've seen his tears, and I'm going to add 15 years to his life. Come on, tell you, it's nobody like God. Amen. Amen. Anybody here, you want an extension? But in the extension, he had a son named Manasseh. And Manasseh succeeded him in rule. But Manasseh was one of the wickedest kings in all of Israel. And he led the people in doing just idolatrous, abominable things, terrible things, to the point where he brought war to Israel. God had to bring in another country, you know what I mean, devastated the country, drug Manasseh off as a captive, put hooks in his nose and drug him off. But even though Manasseh was tremendously wicked, the Bible says that in his affliction, he humbled himself. Oh, Manasseh knew enough that, man, even though you might go left, but if you know enough to humble yourself, God will respond to the humble cry. Amen. God will respond to the humble appeal. Amen. And the Bible said that God responded to Manasseh, man, blessed Manasseh, restored him. Glory to God, because the prayer of humility moves God. That's my next slide. The prayer of the humble moves God. Catch it now. There's a lot in that. The prayer of the humble moves him. God is moved. When I cry out to him from a position of humility. How many know, even when you really think about prayer itself, and you're talking to God and you're asking him for something, the sincere prayer, the real act of prayer itself is an act of humility. Okay? And God is moved. He's moved when humility is found in my praying. Amen. Look at James chapter 4. Look at James. We'll look at a few scriptures tonight, but look at James. James chapter 4. James chapter 4, and look at verses 6. Verses 6 and 7. James chapter 4 and verse 6 and 7. The prayer of the humble moves God. James chapter 4 and verse 6 and 7. But he says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says what? God resists the proud. Does your Bible say that? God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Anybody here need grace? Any favor? Gives grace to the humble. Verse 7 says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That God, the Bible says here in verse 6, that God actually is in resistance to the proud. He actually takes a posture of resistance. So when the Pharisee was praying, God was not paying him any mind. That's why the Bible said he was praying, he was talking to himself. Because God took a position of resistance because all he heard was pride. All he heard was pride. God actually takes a position of resistance to the proud, but the word says that we just read here, but he gives grace to the humble. There's a whole lot in grace. I know we hear a lot about grace. But grace and, you know, is unearned favor, unmerited favor. But often I think of grace as God's, not only his favor, but his concern. That God actually is concerned. He's involved. God makes his attributes available to me. Amen. There's a whole lot locked up in his grace. There's more than what we know that's locked up in his grace. That's why he told the Apostle Paul, when the Apostle Paul was talking to him, you know what I mean? Because the Apostle Paul, you're talking about somebody going through something. The Apostle Paul had a messenger of Satan assigned to him. So that wherever he went, he found adversity. The Bible says, because of the abundance of the revelations, so that the Apostle Paul wouldn't get the big head. How many know? I don't know if I want that much revelation. That the man actually had a demon with a ticket, an assignment just to cause him trouble, so that he wouldn't get puffed up. And he cried out to the Lord. He said, he prayed three times about it. Can you do something about this, Simeon? Come on, come on. I'm rebuking and binding. I'm doing everything I can do. I'm pleading to everything. I'm doing everything I can do. But this demon just won't budge. And he told him, look, my grace is sufficient for you. The fact that I'm talking to you, and the fact that I'm involved with you, and the fact that I called you, and the fact that I've anointed you, and the fact that I'm leading you and guiding you is more than enough. Hallelujah. More than enough for any demon with an assignment, more than any conspiracy of hell. His presence, his grace is more than enough. Come on, can you give God praise? His grace is enough. His grace is enough, saints. He's enough. And the scripture says here in James that he resists the proud, but what? Gives grace to the humble. In other words, so there's a whole lot that comes with my posture. There's a whole lot. I'm not talking about my physical posture, because how many know I can lay out flat on my face and still be proud? Yeah. Humility is not a physical position. Yeah. He's not looking at my physical position. He's looking at my heart. Amen. Amen. He resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. It talks about in 2 Chronicles 7 and verse 14. It says, if my people, you know it by heart, if my people will call by my name, will what? Humble themselves. Come on, tell your neighbor, you can humble yourself. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that's what the Lord Jesus said. Look, let's turn back to our text in Luke 18 and look at the latter part of verse 14. Again, going back to Luke 18, look at verse 14 again and look at the end of it. Notice he said, for everyone who what? Exalts himself. In other words, nothing can make me be exalted. I exalt myself. Will be humbled, and he who humbles what? Himself will be exalted. In other words, I've got a lot to do with it. I think one of the most pronounced cases of this is found in Daniel 4. It talks about Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was a bad boy, man. Nebuchadnezzar wasn't just the king of Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar was a world ruler. He ruled the known world. And the Bible says that one day he got beside himself. But he had been beside himself for some time. See, he just didn't come to it that day. See, he'd been walking around, thinking too much about himself for some time. But this particular day he walked around, looking at the hanging gardens, which was one of the seven wonders of the world that he built for his wife. Oh, looking at all the magnificent structures. Because they built with brick. And some of the walls, you could have chariot races on top of the walls. The walls were so big. And so he walking around looking at it. He said, now look at this here. Look at this Babylon that I have built. And the Bible says that while the word was in his mouth. In other words, God had gotten to the point where I'm tired of you talking like that. This is not the first time I've heard you running around talking like this, but you don't reach the saturation point. And you've gotten beside yourself. You've forgotten that I have allowed you to become great. I've allowed this nation to become great so that the weak and feeble can have a place to go and find refuge. So that you can let the immigrants in, those that are fleeing persecution, that they can come to this place. I've allowed all of this, but you thought that you did it. Amen. So the Bible said that while the word was in his mouth, a voice fell from heaven. Judgment was declared. Told him that you're going to be eating grass out back. Until you realize where authority really comes from. I'm just paraphrasing. Until you realize that heaven rules. You a world ruler, but the universe ruler has given you what you have. Amen. And the Bible said that God snatched his mind from him and gave him the heart of an animal. And he went from being vertical to going down on all fours. And he ate grass for seven seasons. And many believe that he ate grass for 7 years. And he was out back to the point where his hair grew long like birds' feathers, the word says. And his nails grew so long that they looked like eagle's claws. And they chained him up out back. But the Bible says that after the seven, because God is more interested in mercy than he is in judgment. Don't you thank God for who he is and the way he is? After his whipping passed. The Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar, while he was still on all fours, he looked up towards heaven and he began to declare that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men. Hallelujah, glory be to God. In other words, he realized who's really in charge. But he did that what? He was humble. He could have avoided it, minister. He could have avoided eating grass for 7 years.
if he had just humbled himself and realized, I have what I have, not by my own hand, but the Most High has blessed me and has blessed this country. Yeah. Oh, come on now. Because how many know he blesses us to be a blessing? That if I have something, I don't have it just for me. Amen. If I have something, it's not just for me. Glory be to God. If I have something, it's not just for me. It's to bless somebody else. Glory be to God. And if he blesses us to come into a position of strength, a position of wealth, I can't think that, man, I've gotten here just by myself. Now, this is all my doing. This is all that I know. I don't did. No. God does that so that we share with those who are less fortunate. The Bible says after 7 years had passed, God being more interested in mercy than he is in judgment, gave him his mind back. And he says that excellent majesty was added to me. In other words, God gave me more majesty on the tail end than I had on the front end. Because I realized that heaven rules. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I'm telling you, humility is a blessing, saints. We're going to talk about it a little more, but humility is a blessing. You don't hear a lot talked about that today, but humility is a powerful virtue. It's a powerful thing, okay? Here's an example. There we go. We can humble ourselves rather than being made to do so. We just read that. The Lord Jesus said that in verse 14. He who exalts himself shall be humbled, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted. Wow. In other words, it's up to me. It's up to me. Got it? All right. Let's move on. Let's look at humble or humbled defined. The Greek word is topeneo. It means to be humble, to be lowly, willing to stoop. Willing to stoop to any measure that is needed. And I added that in parentheses, especially to do God's will. See, we're living in a time that people want to tell you what they're anointed to do. Come in with a spiritual resume. Huh? But in the kingdom of God, I have to be willing to go low if he's going to take me anywhere. You can find it from Genesis to Revelation. God gave Joseph a dream. Gave him a dream. Joseph, you know what I mean, told a dream to his brothers, dream to his father. They got on him a little bit. Because in the dream depicted them bowing to him. So Joseph might have felt like, oh, yeah, y'all going to bow to me. But he didn't know what he was going to go through between the dream and them bowing. He didn't know that God was going to take him down before he took him up. Yeah. And his brothers threw him in a pit, then sold him to Ishmaelite traders. and the Ishmaelite traders sold him into slavery. Then he went from slavery to a dungeon for 2 years. Before he went to Pharaoh's palace, God took him down, Regina, before he took him up. Because when I'm in that position, you know what I mean? He works on my character. Come on now. Because you're going to find out who I really am when I'm doing something that I don't want to do. Oh, come on now. Come on now. Oh, come on. You're going to find out how really saved I am when somebody asks me to work in the parking lot. Huh? And it's cold outside. You can see your breath. You're going to find out who I really am. Amen. You're going to find out really, really who I really am when I feel like my anointment is for the choir. Huh? But God wants me to straighten out chairs. See? No, he knows what he's put in me. He knows what he has gifted me to do. But he wants to see, will I serve and stoop and do what's needed to be done so that when I take you to where you are anointed to be, you will know how to handle that.
Thank you for listening to this teaching. To receive prayer or to order this teaching in its entirety, call us at 757-539-1724. At Covenant Community Church, we believe that you can achieve victory in every area of your life through living by God's word. Remember, with God, we are champions.